Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the What to Read Next podcast. In this podcast, your host, Lori and me, will invite a bookish guest to share their favorite book recommendation. If you share a passion for books and always looking for your next read, then join us. Welcome to the What to Read Next podcast. Today's bookish guest is Lane and Meg from Plutra's podcast. Before we get to today's show, I want to share a bit about our sponsor. This show is sponsored by Never Conspire with the Sinful Baron by Renee Ann Miller. What is this book all about? Well, Lord Ralston, he's a baron, hid a financial load and must marry a female with a sizable dowry to make ends meet. Well, he picks Lady Nina, and however, Lady Nina's interested in the Duke of Fernbridge because her grandmother wants her powerful alliance. So Lord Ralston offers to teach Lady Nina how to seduce the Duke. Well, you know where this leads. The seductions is a road to falling in love. So, what I love about this book, even though this is book 4 in the series, it can be read as standalone, which I did. I want to go back to a couple of the other books because there's the couple, Lady Nina's sister-in-law and her brother's story. I think it's book 2, so I want to check that out, and it looks so good. And so, that's one thing. Personally, I think courtship is a catnip for me. Less seductions, yes please. So I really love this book about that. I love that this book talks about the suffragist movement and Lady Nina's plan to go to work, which is not something I see in historical women's. This book is beyond a young lady in a marriage mart. Like, there's actually substance with it, so I really enjoy that. If you're looking for a great, smart historical women's novel, then this might be it. You can purchase Never Conspire with the Sinful Baron by Renee Ann Miller at your local bookseller. For more information about this book and other books, go to Kensington website at kensingtonbooks.com. Now let's go to the interview. Hi, Lane. Hi, Meg.
Hi. Hi.
Thanks for having us on.
So happy to have you both on. So, Lane, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. I am a single woman, as a lot of people who listen to our podcast will know. I've talked about some of my dating adventures. Living in downtown DC with my cat, who is basically the devil incarnate, and a very large collection of books.
Yes, if you listen to the podcast, you can hear Lane's cat, Minx, who sometimes makes an appearance by purring or meowing a couple times. So.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
Meg has a daughter and I have a cat, and I think you hear my cat more than you hear her kid.
Oh my gosh. And Meg, tell us a little about yourself.
Yes, so Lane is the single girl in our podcast. I've been married for a long time and have a daughter. I live in the suburbs of Washington, D.C., so I think we have a good diversity of opinion here.
I love it. Well, I used to live in Washington, D.C. before I lived in New York, and it's one of my favorite cities to live. Although when I just moved from New York, I moved to Chicago. I was like, I thought of moving to D.C., but I needed a car. Yeah. So Chicago became, well, I don't need a car.
I don't have a car, and it's doable, but kind of a pain.
Okay. Yeah, that's where I realized. I was like, I'm really going to need a car, you know, so it is a pain.
Yeah.
So, awesome. So let's start with your podcast. Tell us a little bit about what is the podcast about, and who is it for, and what do you do, what do you talk about?
So our podcast is called Plot Trysts. So all props go to Lane for this name. It's a great name. Mm-hmm. But what we want to do is we focus on just short, digestible book reviews. I think our longest episode has been 45 minutes. So we really try to go shorter. It's not like a book club kind of podcast. It's just a very quick, this is what you're going to get when you read this book. These were our thoughts. And then, of course, we also tell you about anything that was anti-feminist or offensive. And we also end by talking about what was sexy in the book.
I love it. And so I had a question. How do you two meet?
So we were coworkers for a while. And literally, I think my first day on the job, the person I was replacing was training me. And we somehow started talking about books. And just based on some of the comments I made, she was like, you have to go talk to me. So we started lending each other non-romances at first.
Ooh.
I think as we started talking about like what we liked about each book and realized we had a lot of similar tastes, Meg finally was like, because we read the Amelia Peabody series, which if you've listened to our podcast is my favorite book series ever, and it takes place in Victorian era Egypt. And Meg was like, if you're interested, I have a romance novel set in Victorian era Egypt, which was Mr. Impossible. And then it was a snowball from there, because I think we just started passing romance novels back and forth like every week.
Yeah. I think it can be really tough when you're recommending romances, because you have to think, you not only do you have to feel out and figure out if the other person likes, is open to the romance genre, but then also I think that it's very specific, different books in the genre as well. So you have to figure out, are our tastes similar enough to recommend a romance novel too? So
yeah, I think that's like the biggest one, because there's the romance genre is like so diverse and there's so much out there. Like there's a little bit of everything. Even giving recommendations, you're like, do you want angsty? Do you want happy? Do you want fluff? Do you want something that's just like, just easy, there's not challenges,
or
you
are modern, historical,
paranormal,
right? There's just so much to go with. And exactly. I think there is also an element in a work situation with a new coworker of like, if I recommend sex, is this going to get awkward?
Right. <You know? laughs>
Like, how explicit can we be in a work environment?
Yeah.
Well, it is actually really funny, because we were, you know, passing books back and forth. And then where we worked, they published a new chapter in the HR manual that was really focused on sexual harassment, which came out of the whole Me Too movement, et cetera. And one of them said, you know, you can't pass sexually explicit material. And we're like, ooh, are we violating this new HR manual chapter?
I think Meg sent me an IM asking, am I sexually harassing you? So,
oh my gosh.
But now we don't work together, so luckily, whatever we do doesn't violate the HR manual at this point.
I'm glad you're no longer violating the HR manual.
Yes.
Yeah. We are too.
Yeah, romance and sex is just part of it. You need to have it, you know, so.
Yeah.
We agree. We clearly have a whole, we devote a third of our podcast to talking about the sex in the books. So yeah. when we read romances that are short on the sex, we definitely have shorter episodes.
Yeah, that's true.
That's amazing. So you read books and talk about books. So how do you select the books that you're going to read together?
That's a great question. So a lot of times what we'll do is we'll say, well, we're in the mood for this, or we're in the mood for that. I am a little bit older than Lane, and I've been reading romances a little bit longer than her. So a lot of times I can think of an author or a series that matches what we're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things we're doing right now is we're actually, so for me, it's a reread, and for Lane, it's a first read. We're going through the Bridgerton series because it's coming out on Netflix. We're like, oh, let's see how we feel about this, how it's going to work out for us. So that's one that we're doing.
I have serious concerns about how that's going to be adaptable, by the way.
Yeah.
I have a lot of questions.
Me too. I have a lot of questions. I wish they play it now, since we're at home, we can binge watch it. But at the same time, like, how are they going to adapt this? Like, is it going to be one book at a time per series? Is it going to be multiple seasons? Like,
I have more practical questions. Like, when Daphne is drugging and raping Simon, is that depictable?
Well, even what leads up to that, like, I guess the whole conflict in their relationship is that Simon's been pulling out, right? So, like, how is that going to be on the TV? I don't know.
Like, clearly they're not going to show it, but how are they going to talk about it while maintaining Victorian social norms and dialogue? Is it going to be heavily narrated? Like,
maybe Lily Whistledown is going to be telling us about their red life.
If Julie Andrews says the phrase, pull out, I'm going to die.
Well, if she uses the word seed, are you going to, like, freak out, Lane?
Yes, if I hear Julie Andrews talking about a man's seed, I'm going to die inside. I'm not going to recover.
Amazing. Well, we gotta wait and see what Julie Andrews is gonna be telling us all about Simon and Daphne.
Yeah, but so otherwise, like, so right now we're making progress with the Bridgerton series. We always try to be doing a couple series at a given time.
Mm-hmm.
One, just because it's a good way, I think, to give you something to come back for, right? We're talking about the Sinister series and how that insanity is fun for us and hopefully fun for our listeners.
Yeah.
But then, like Meg was saying, over the holidays, I was watching a lot of made-for-TV Christmas movies, which are really schmaltzy.
Yeah.
It was great and what I wanted, but I was like, Meg, I need something like really sexy. Yeah. I need like a break from all of this, like one chaste kiss at the end and they live happily ever after. And she recommended, I think, one of my favorite reads of our last couple of months, which was, it's an unfinished series, sadly.
Yeah, so it's His Mistress by Morning by Elizabeth Boyle.
Ooh.
So this is like an early 2000s. This was the first, supposed to be the series starter. It was a series starter. There was a sequel, but then they didn't finish out the series. But it's a really fun, like borders on paranormal with a lot of really hot sex.
Oh my God.
It's alternate universe. So this girl who's like very modest and staid, who's desperately in love with her best friend's brother, makes a wish on a magic ring and gets transported to an alternate universe where she's his mistress. And she comes to like this transition in the time-space continuum, like mid having sex with him.
Yeah.
It's bonkers. Utterly insane, but it's so good.
It's a really fun read, honestly. I don't always recommend this book, but I should.
Oh my God, that looks like bonkers. That looks so good. I may be adding it to my never ending TBR list.
Yeah, right.
So do you keep a reading schedule?
Yes, it's pretty extensive. We have it out through July now, actually. Okay. So we do, yeah.
It's flexible. I mean, sometimes one of us will read something and be like, never mind, need to talk about this right now, or we'll hear about a new release. Or like the example with the Bridgertons, we hadn't necessarily been planning on starting that when we did, but when the TV show got announced, I think clearly we bumped it up because we knew it would be relevant.
Yeah.
There's a lot of flexibility to it, but we do try to stay on top of a pretty long-term plan. We're both pretty busy people. We have full-time jobs outside of this.
Yeah.
So it's, I think, important for us to know, like, we can knock out the reading for the podcast when we have the time and not be finishing every book the morning before we record.
Yeah.
Which still happens, yeah.
I've done.
Yeah, I know. I actually record the podcast too, and there are times when I'm like, I'm just rushing through trying to get them, you know, the day before. I'm like sending the questions like, I'm sorry, here you go.
Yeah.
You know, the podcast is helpful just to get us to read and it gets us to talk about books, but it brings us a new level of like responsibility. Like, you gotta read for the podcast, you know, not just read for pleasure.
Definitely.
Well, I'm sure you can relate. One of the things Meg and I are trying to balance right now as, you know, we build up a slightly bigger following is what degree do we want to put more time and effort into outreach and engagement, because we don't want this to become a job.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We don't want to feel like we're obligated to finish books we don't want to read. We don't want to feel like we're spending so much time on this that we're burning out.
Yep.
You know, this originally started because we wanted like a formal way to talk about books, and we both felt like the podcast we wanted, which was enough to recommend a book without necessarily spoiling it or feeling like it was in a remote book club, didn't exist. So we wanted to make it, but we don't want it to become a chore.
Yeah, I think that's like it. That's the balance with having a podcast, you know, just a woman's podcast or just a book podcast. Like, mm-hmm. It can become a job sometimes. Like, you get publicists telling you, read this book, we need promotion. And you're like, no, I don't want to read for work. Like, it just becomes work, you know, and then just realizing, like, I want to read for, I'm a mood reader, so I may not want to have a set TBR.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Definitely, yeah.
Yeah. All right. So now let's talk romance. So when did you start reading romance? Let's go with Lane first.
Oh man, I don't really know exactly what my first romance was, because the library I went to growing up, the only romance that was separated from mass fiction was the paperback Harlequin.
Oh, okay.
And so I think a lot of what I was picking up at the time, I was one of those kids who would literally just grab whatever off the shelf and give everything a shot. And so I think I noticed a trend that I was liking, like, stories with a really heavy romantic element. And I've always loved historical fiction. And I think a lot of times the line between historical fiction and romance can be kind of blurry.
Yeah.
But I know the first true historical romance books that I bought with my friends from high school, and we highlighted the dirty parts.
Ooh.
And then on bus rides to and from theater trips, we would get everyone to read them aloud.
Oh my gosh.
We got And I still have these books like highlighted and noted up, and we've actually reviewed some of them for the podcast. So I think that was when I first started like consuming what Meg and I are reviewing now. And then in college, those books were just on my bookshelf. And as life got more stressful, I would actually read them because it was there and they were quick and I could finish one without it really disrupting my ability to write a paper. And I think ever since, that's sort of been my stress release.
I love it. How about you, Meg?
Yeah, so I feel like I have a real origin story. It was babysitting. So I must have been 12 years old. No, I don't think any older than 12. And I was co-babysitting with my cousin. So she was older than me. So that's how a 12-year-old could be babysitting some kids.
Yeah.
And so we're there at the house. The kids are in bed. And then we were just going to go down in the basement and have some fun and watch TV. And under the TV console is this whole series of romance novels. We're just like, these are these books. Okay. So I remember they were mostly Julie Garwood. I don't know if you've read any of her stuff.
Yeah.
So she's this prolific 90s romance author.
Okay.
And the one I picked up was Honor Splendor. That's what it's called. And we started reading it because we both were big readers. So we each had a book. We are each reading it. And I was like, oh my God, like, what is this book? Because it's even from the beginning, like pretty sexual. And then the mother came home. It was actually my cousin's confirmation sponsor. So we're both Catholic. So we met through church. And she said, oh yeah, girls, you can just take those books home. And I was like, wow, she gave me this book. I took it home and I read it. And after that, I was like, okay, just started getting Julie Garwood books everywhere. So that was how I started reading romance. Yeah.
I love it. And so, Wayne, what do you love about the genre?
I mean, I think for me, they're my favorite escapist.
Mm-hmm.
Like entertainment. I have a lot of hobbies, but there are a lot of long-term commitment type things. I knit and making a sweater takes months. My friends and I are really into movies, but we make it a point to see every Oscar film that comes out. And to me, I think like romance novels, even when they're part of a series, are very bite-sized. Like it's like that sense of accomplishment of like, okay, I can take this, but it has a definitive end.
Yeah.
So I get the escape. And I also think, you know, I read a lot, and a lot of times, you know, when life's heavy and then you're reading heavy things, it can be a lot. And so I really like kind of the element of this is not reality. These problems are largely not real. I mean, I'm not being abducted as an heir to a dukedom in 1700. So it's easy to kind of detach from those elements of the story. But at the same time, I know one of the things Meg and I share is I have this theory that most books have three elements, right? The like plot and the story structure, the characters themselves and how you relate to them, and then the writing and the prose itself. And I think most people kind of prefer one element of that. Like they can look past the others if one is really strong. And I think Meg and I both discussed that for us, it's character development.
Mm.
That like a good character, I don't care if the story's a little thin or if it's not perfectly written, if I really relate to the person. Mm. And I think romance novels are inherently pretty character driven.
Yeah. Yeah, they are. How about you, Meg? What do you like about the genre?
Yeah, so just like Lane said, one of the big things I love about it is the character development. Like she said, romance as a genre does have a huge focus on character development. You have to know why these two characters are compatible. You have to know, you know, what's keeping them apart, and it has to be believable. So for me, I really like that. I also personally really like the fact that the books, so I don't want to use the word formulaic because that's not what I mean. But what I do mean is that the books have a certain structure to them, right? So the structure is, you know, there's a situation, there are characters who meet, they have some kind of relationship, there's some kind of conflict keeping them apart, and then they come together in the end, right? So, so many times you hear people talking about the different tropes in romance. And I really like seeing how a different author is going to put together those tropes in a new way. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's, if you remember in A Wrinkle in Time, they talk about the sonnet, right? Mm-hmm. So they talk about how in the sonnet, there are all these different rules, but no one would ever say that a sonnet is not art because it has to follow lots of different rules. Now, in A Wrinkle in Time, it's like more philosophical. They're talking about like life and how you should live your life. Everyone has a structure, but it's what you do with it. But it's the same in art. And it's the same in romance novels, you know, so there is a structure, there are these tropes, but how are you going to work with them? How is the author going to do new things with them? And that's something I really like seeing.
Yeah, and I think with the character development, that brings a new layer, and then the different plots and the different ideas, different conflicts, that just adds new layers to each romance. So even though you love one trope, you're probably going to read 10 books in the same trope. There are 10 different ways of doing it.
Yeah.
So that's awesome.
Exactly, yeah.
All right, so let's talk about tropes. So Meg first, what is your favorite romance trope?
So for me, I don't know if you can consider it a trope, but I would say it's the virgin hero. Yeah. That's my, I love it. I love when I see it. It's not very common, so you don't see it all that much, but I really enjoy it. So, yeah.
And how about you, Lane?
I think my favorite one, which I've encountered more outside specifically the romance genre, but it's in a lot of that historical fiction romance gray area, yeah, is the archaeologist spy.
Ooh.
Ramses from the Amelia Peabody series and Lord Ingram from the Lady Sherlock series are both type A of this trope, and I love them to death. And then I'll speak for Meg and I together. I think collectively our favorite trope is carriage sex.
This is true, yeah.
Yeah. Can you share at least one carriage sex book?
Thief of Shadows, Nine Rules to Break When Romancing a Rake, A Secret Love, which is coming up on our podcast. I think we've reviewed all three of those, and they've all got pretty good sex scenes in a carriage.
I love it. Yeah, I have a thing for just one bed or just one carriage or just one, just basically like happening, you know, just make it work. So
I do love the oh no, we're trapped in this place and there's just one bed to lie on. What are we gonna do?
Only one room at the inn is one Meg brings up a lot.
Yeah. I also like that it's really cold outside and we're trapped here together, so we have to take all of our clothes to get warm.
No alternative, really.
No alternative to that. Body heat, you gotta share it.
You gotta love it. This is awesome. So now let's talk about your least favorite tropes. Meg first.
So probably my least favorite trope is the big age gap.
Mm.
So it's a thing, it's a trope I don't like when they make a big thing about it.
Yeah.
It doesn't bother me that much if there's like 5, 6, 10 years between somebody. But if they act like it's a big thing, it turns into this very paternalistic kind of story about how the man is like tutoring the woman, or he's going to help her with her career. And that just gets a little too much into real life for me, I guess.
Yeah, I think it's even the other way. Like, I'm thinking of, did you watch Love is Blind by any chance?
Yeah.
You know, Jessica and the age gap, she just kept bringing it up. And I was like, it's just annoying. Like, it's not a big deal. Like, if you don't bring it up, like, if you bring it up 5 minutes, like, it is a big deal.
Exactly.
It's like dating short guys.
Yeah.
I don't care about dating a short guy, but I am bothered every time I'm on a date and the guy brings it up within the first 10 minutes. Like, I have eyes. I'm 5'2". I don't care that you're 5'7", but I do care that you want to talk about the fact that you're 5'7".
Yeah,
exactly.
You just like, you don't need to bring it up. Like, it's not that important. It's not that serious. So, yeah. All right. So, Lane, what is your least favorite romance trope?
Probably Put a Baby in Me, or I'm Going to Put a Baby in You.
Oh, God. I hate those.
I can't. I'm like, whenever the couple gets obsessed, not with like long-term being together and having a family, but the specifics of like insemination as a trope, I'm out. I like it. I'm not interested. I'm mostly disgusted.
Oh my God. Yeah. That's awesome. Oh. All right. So Lane, you love historical fiction. What are some of your favorite books of this year?
I've mostly been reading from my TBR list this year, but in terms of historical fiction, I read The 20th Wife, which was fantastic. It's the first book in a trilogy about the mother-in-law of the emperor who would go on to build the Taj Mahal.
Oh, okay.
So it's about India way back when and the dynasty. And then the one I'm most looking forward to is The Mirror and the Light, which is Hilary Mantel's third book in the Thomas More series.
That's awesome.
I loved the first two. I loved the second a lot. Have you read Bring Up the Bodies?
No, I'm not. So tell me all about it.
I mean, they're true historical fiction, not okay. in that gray area with romance, and they're hefty, but they're about the reign of King Henry VIII from the perspective of a courtier who kind of worked his way up through the ranks with Henry and then was eventually beheaded.
Oh, okay. And
so the third book, it's the one I assume he's going to die at the end. That's where it has to be going. But they're really, really well written. The first two both won the Booker Prize.
Oh, that's great. That's really good. Awesome. So, Meg, you love sci-fi fantasy. What have been some of your favorite books of this year?
So I read N.K. Jemisin's Broken Earth trilogy this year, and it was amazing. It's really, really good. It's a really cool world that you get into. If you don't like science fiction fantasy, maybe it's not obvious. But for me, one of the things I love is world building. Mm-hmm. And this series is really interesting. It's a world that's very different from ours, but also deals with a lot of the same problems.
Mm.
So it's a world where the seismic activity is like going crazy, apparently. And so they call these times when the Earth is going through a climate event that's going to change the entire world. They call it a season. So they call it a fifth season, right? Mm-hmm. So there are the normal four seasons and there's a fifth season. So there could be the season of acid rain and like all of your plants die. And you know, what do you do? How do you deal with it? So it's really interesting, but it also deals a little bit with marginalized groups. There's a group of people who can sense when the Earth is going to be changing. Ah. And so how are these people treated? How can they help society? Anyway, it's just very, very cool. So highly recommend that series.
I love it. So let's talk about which two books did you read over the past few months you recommend? And let's go with Meg first.
So in the romance series, I would say in the past few months, three books that I would recommend. First one is The Lord I Left. So this is by Scarlett Peckham.
Okay.
If you have listened to our podcast, you will know that Lane and I did not like the first in the series.
Okay.
But I persevered and I really liked this third and final book in the series. So it's called The Lord I Left. I really liked it.
Okay.
There's this book that I just recently read called Butterfly Swords. So this is published in 2010. It's by Jeannie Lin. So it's an older book, but it's a historical romance that is set in Tang Dynasty China.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was kind of a new setting. And then finally, one of my favorites from recent months was A Prince on Paper.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved this book so much. I made Lane read it like right away.
That's one that got moved up on the schedule urgently. Yeah.
I remember this other book was on the schedule, but you have to read A Prince on Paper instead. So sorry.
I love it. How about you, Lane? What two books have you read this in the past few months you work on?
I broke it up a little differently than Meg. So my favorite pure romance novel of the last few months, I think, was Brazen and the Beast by Sarah McLean. I really like Sarah McLean, I think a little more than Meg does. And this was my favorite book of hers since her first.
Okay.
So highly recommend. In that ambiguous romance adjacent zone that Meg and I like to gravitate to, Meg recommended the Lord Peter Wimsey series, the first of which is Whose Body? And we're going to be reviewing the ones in this series that have a romantic element for the podcast, but not all do.
Okay.
Whose Body is one of the ones that it doesn't, so we won't be reviewing it, but it was really good. It's by Dorothy Sayers, and it's fantastic. And then totally out of left field, there's a recently published biography of George Washington by Alexis Coe called You Never Forget Your First.
Oh yeah, I've seen it.
It was really fun. Okay. Which, like, I am not usually a presidential biography person, but I read an interview with her in some magazine where she talked about like demythologizing the man and not needing to be pretentious and intentionally writing a shorter, more digestible book. And it was so much fun.
I love it. So what books are on your TBR, Lane?
So have you ever seen the movie About Time?
No. Okay.
Okay. So it's about a family where some of the people can time travel. And one of the things the father does is he lives every day three times, once as if it were normal, once as if everything was great. And the third, he just reads all day.
Yeah. Okay.
And I feel like that's what I need. Like, I need a life split into three where one version of every day, all I do is read, and then I'll finally get through the backlog.
Yeah.
But I think my favorite romance author of the last couple of years has been Tessa Dare.
Yep.
So I really want to read all of her backlog. I think I've only read about half of her books. I mentioned The Mirror and the Light, which I'm super looking forward to. I just got The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo from the library, and my friends have all said it's fantastic.
It is really good. I really enjoy it. There's some romance, sir. So it's a romance, but it's really good. It's fantastic.
And then Wedding Date and Everything by Connie Willis are my big projects for 2020.
That sounds like a dual project along with the podcast reading. So
some of that is podcast reading.
Yeah, there we go. How about you, Meg? What's on your TBR?
Yeah, so for the non-romances on my TBR list, I'm continuing this, the Muir Visitor series by Christelle Dabos. Mm-hmm. So her, the second in the series is called The Missing of Claire de Lune. So mm-hmm. we'll see how it goes. I liked the world in the first one. The heroine, I'm not in love with yet, but hopefully she grows a spine in the second one. We'll see. For romances, I'd like to check out some new authors. So I've never read Maya Rodal or Kerrigan Byrne, and I've
Yeah.
So I want to read them. Of course, I'm going to keep up with some with the new books, the new releases by our old favorites, Eloisa James, Julia Quinn, Amanda Quick. And then lately, I'll go ahead and just recommend books about epidemics and plagues. So it depends on, you know, your comfort level with the reading material. But for me, it's been, I guess for me, part of the way I deal with real life is through fiction. So a lot of these actually were rereads for me. So there's Doomsday Book by Connie Willis, which is amazing. It's a masterpiece. Year of Wonders by Geraldine Brooks. World Without End by Ken Follett. And I am going to do it. I'm reading The Diary of Samuel Pepys, at least the plague years. So
oh my gosh. That's amazing. Thank you for the recommendations.
Meg immerses, I escape.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm probably going to escape a little bit longer. Not ready to watch Contagion or Pandemic.
Well, I think the difference too is that I don't listen to the news like at all. Okay. So that's how I can do a little bit of plague.
I love it. So what can we expect for Plot Twist?
Oh, well, we're going to be talking about Undercover Bromance. So we really liked the first one in the series, The Bromance Book Club.
Yep.
By Alyssa K. Adams. So we're this month, that's coming out next. We're continuing The Bridgertons with It's in His Kiss, continuing The Wallflowers with It Happened One Autumn. And then I convinced Lane to read Dorothy Sayers. So we're going to be reading Strong Poison. And then, as she said in the beginning, she got me to read Elizabeth Peters. So we're going to be reading The Snake, the Crocodile, and the Dog as the ours are romance adjacent
features. It might be a historical fiction, but it does have an amnesia romance plotline.
That's right.
There we go. So this is awesome. So thank you, Lane and Maid, for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having us. It was great.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, or rate and review the show. This is the easiest way to support this podcast. Want to join a romance-loving community? Want weekly book recommendations, monthly author Q&As, and book recommendation meetups? Make new friends? Then join our Patreon community. To sign up, please follow the links in the show notes. What to Read Next podcast is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Find more podcasts to love on frolic.media/podcast. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatreadnextblog.com/sponsorships. To learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you so much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.